Okay.
Well,
I love it. Hi, everyone. I look, oh my goodness, all the faces and the places and the people, and what a delight to have everyone here. Thank you. Like I say, on Friday afternoon, let's start in prayer, and I want this to be a highly practical time together. Something might click where you can take something home, okay? That's the hope. And I also know that a lot of you are here, and we haven't seen each other yet. So, hi.
Oh, my goodness.
This is great. Hi, McGrady. How are you? You're on the front row. You're a kiss-up. You always were.
Don't spit.
I'll try not to spit. Don't kiss you either. So hi. That was Steve Thailand, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this Bible lectures. What a week it's been. And to hear Amy's lesson this morning for such a time as this, sometimes it's dramatic like stopping genocide. But other times it is saying, I want to try something new. I want to reach my community. I want to reach somewhere around the world. So thank you for the power even of today's message, but the sacred scrolls, the rhythms of our spiritual life, God. Thank you. There's a lot of faces in here that I've had the opportunity to be connected to their lives. What an honor to be together on a Friday afternoon. And then lots of new friends that are here too. And I pray that all of us are interested in reaching our neighbors around the world and around the corner. And that we can find ways to bring your good news to people. That's what we pray for. In Jesus' name. Hey, am I supposed to have a microphone on? Or is that good, man? High tech. I love Pepperdine. My name is Scott Lambert. Kim, where are we from?
I'm living in Texas, but I'm from California.
You hear the agony and all that? We like Texas. Come on, baby. We're from Fort Worth, Texas. That's still a little odd to say. For those of you that we don't know each other very well, I had the great honor of working for Sandy Dawson right over here. That's a joke, but we worked together for years and years at Pepperdine University, and I was the campus minister here for 18 to 21 years, depending on how you want to count it. I loved Pepperdine, so to come home and to see the old view, more importantly, to see the people, is really powerful. And I loved campus ministry because it was a right place for decision-making for the kingdom of God. I loved it. 11 years ago, Kim and I left, and I don't have a clicker, so Kim's helping me out today, so thank you, Kim. Kim and I left 11 years ago from Pepperdine, moved to El Segundo, California, where we helped start a church planting movement called Kairos Church Planting, and our goal in Kairos was to help start churches around America. And that would reach new people, new places, new churches for those new people. It's one of the best evangelistic tools there is, new churches. Because there's room for people, right? There's room for people. 1990, so right after Kim and I got married, we started being involved in something called Let's Start Talking. And so I know that a lot of you are here for that today, too. Which I really want us to talk pretty seriously. We started going, man, I don't know how many trips. Our family together, I think, has done 18 or 19 trips around the world. And, of course, you know, Friends Speak is here at home, and we've been involved in all those kinds of things. And so when Mark Woodward decided to step down as the executive director of Let's Start Talking, we had lots of conversations and interviewed, and we moved to Fort Worth, Texas to take on the role of working in Let's Start Talking. So what an honor. I'm the executive director. Kim is director of alumni. We're still making up her titles. We give her lots of titles. Alumni and donor and all that kind of stuff. We've been able to jump right in. Side note, just off on the side for a moment here. Mark Woodward was going to be here, Mark and Sherry both. You've probably heard this story already, but if you haven't, they were on their way driving from Amarillo, Texas. Well, from Fort Worth, passing through Amarillo, and Mark got out of the car, pulled off on a gravel road to get something for the dog they had in the car, as he was reaching in to give the dog something, a rattlesnake bit him. Bit him in the bottom. No, not in the bottom, in the back leg. Like a real rattlesnake. Like a real rattlesnake, you know. They rushed him to the hospital. So he's fine. He was in the hospital 2 days. He's on his way home. Or he's home and resting now. Leg swelled up, the anti-venom, all that kind of stuff. So Mark is giving his greeting, Mark and Shirley. Isn't that scary? I have a friend who lived in Amarillo 9 years ago. I've never known anyone bitten by a snake. So there you go. That's truly snake bitten. That's So Kim and I, when we took over, when we came to begin to work, let's start talking, we just jumped right in. And we've tried to come in with eyes wide open, you know, where we're, you know, bringing hopefully some change and some new ideas and stuff, but also to see what is working well. So for us to come from campus ministry, highly evangelistic, we love Pepperdine. And, you know, our baptistry was either the faculty jacuzzi or the ocean, you know what I mean? So how's that for appealing people to come into the Lord? But we just had people all the time that were there. And then in Kairos, that's what we did. New churches reached the people. We got to celebrate people around the country being baptized. And for us coming into Let's Start Talking and Friends Speak, the two things we're going to talk some about today, we want to carry on that idea of reaching people brings the greatest joy in your life. It's been our greatest joy. And so for us to step into that role is powerful. So I'd like to start with a little teaching just for a little bit. And I want to kind of put out three biblical elements that I think we need to visit about a little bit. Okay? So I want to just start with some words, and I'm going to come right over here. Kim? Yeah? I think we'll just go to the next slide. How about that? Yeah, thank you. So I want to visit a little bit. I see three biblical elements that are just standard in reaching people. Just standard. Okay, and I think you'll see as we kind of latch on to these things, you're wrestling with this kind of stuff at home, okay? So there are 4 or 5 words for each one that I thought I'd throw out because sometimes, you know, more words give you a little more description. So really number one, man, I'm going to circle my favorite a little bit, but these are all the words that I kind of put to number one. Vision, methods, strategy. Now I said biblical, right? So you don't see the word strategery very much in the scriptures, but it, you know, they're there. Okay. So again, let me just kind of walk with these for a little bit. Number one, vision, methods, strategy, tools. How do you actually? What are your plans to reach people? If you don't have any plans, you'll probably hit your goals. Right? Is that about right? So, Paul was a man of great strategy, or vision, or tools, or methods. One of my favorite stories is he, Acts chapter 19, verses 8 to 10, he got into Ephesus and he had to figure out what to do. And so he went to an educational facility, Tyrannus' Hall. What a great name for a teacher, right? Tyrant, Tyrannus. And he probably taught in the morning and the evening, Tyrannus, who did it, because it was cool. And it was kind of when people took siestas. Paul rented his hall, probably, in the middle of the day, because educationally, right, people come for education everywhere. And in the end, verse 10 there, it says, and Asia, all of Asia heard of the word of the Lord because Paul rented a lecture hall in the middle of Ephesus. There's always a strategy. There's always some kind of tool. Paul had visions, right? He had a vision. I should look at my notes. I forget. The Macedonian call, right? He was going to go to, I forget the town he was going to. Help me out. Yeah, this I hate quizzes like that too, sorry. So he was going to go to one town, and he got a vision to go to another town, and he did what the Lord said, and that's when the gospel began to come across the Asian bridge into Europe, right there. That was the beginning of Macedonia. You know, he was different in Athens than he was anywhere else. He named their poets. I got to go to Athens this year. It was really cool. And he got himself into the Areopagus, which is the town hall, you know, the pantheon, the big pantheon over there. What am I trying to see? You've been there. The big place over there, but the hill was where they gathered all the politicians. And you know what? They had 6 minutes. It was fun to be with Greeks talking about this. He had 6 minutes, and it was an hourglass. Okay, you're on. And if you read Acts 17, Athens, that's a six-minute speech. I'll be done. Because that was what was it at his disposal. And began the conversation. So there are always methods, visions, strategies, tools. I'm going to circle one word that I like the best, strategy. That's my favorite out of this particular grouping, because that's biblical. Jesus in Luke 10 pulled the disciples together and said, all right. You know, we always say he sent the 72. I like to say he sent 36 teams. And I'm going to go where, you know, in a few weeks I'm going to be up here, so I want you two up here. And I want you to. And then heal them and tell them that the kingdom of God is here. Heal and tell. A strategy, right? So, you know, in your life or in the church's life, don't just say, well, let's just be nice to people. That's a good strategy. But how are you going to do that? There's a strategy. Number two, I want to give you a set of words that I think are pretty powerful. And these are biblical, okay? Number two, can you write? I'm afraid people can't read what I'm going to say. How about relationships? I love the word relationships. And this is highly biblical. I love the word gathering. That's highly biblical. I love the word belonging. That is highly biblical and definitely needed in today's culture for outreach to our neighbors and friends. Oh, there's three words right there. Relationships, gathering, what? Gathering. You know, Paul knew how to go into a town and have a crowd after a while. The great English evangelist, John Wesley, you know, we often give the term Methodism to him, right? He had a method, methodology. So that's where we get the term Methodist, right? They had a method. And he started in towns, and he would come and do big speeches, and people would turn out. England had gotten very unchurched, very illiterate about the Bible, and he began with a method of getting big gatherings. And then he would put them into small groups of 12, and they would teach and learn and stuff. You know what he said about gatherings? What that was so kind of cool? You'd think you'd hear from John Wesley something deep and theological, but here was what he said about someone asked him, why do you get the big groups? He said, well, if you go into a town and set yourself on fire, people will come and watch. That's a spiritual gift. Gathering, pulling people together. Relationships. Well, I want to go to belonging. In today's world, well, this is in every moment of history, people want to belong. The churches I grew up in said this first. They said, well, when you believe, we'll let you belong. Got to be the opposite today. Because people need to belong almost before they believe. And that's the godly way. Jesus invited all kinds of yahoos to follow him and stuff. And they belonged even before they believed. Well, Kim, if you'd circle relationships, that's the word I've kind of chosen out of it. That is as biblical as it gets. God has always chosen to work through people. Always. Well, you know, there may be a desert island story where a Bible washes up on the shore and they start a congregation or something. I don't know. But almost always, there has been a relationship. I grew up in a family that loved God. Well, that's an obvious one. I had lots of relationships. John, you had a buddy that invited you, right, to church?
No, it kind of came around.
Yeah. You got into church, found relationships, and began the conversation. It's always the incarnational piece that's there, too. Right? Almost always. Now, we often have left that to the preacher, the minister, somebody else. But that's why sometimes our churches get small. Because we've all got to be deeply in relationship. Well, let me give you a number three that I think is three or four words for another category in terms of biblical elements. Well, how about the word faith? Faith has got to come in there somewhere. Kim, if you wouldn't mind writing down word of God, that would be great. And the last word, I just wanted to throw this one out there. I'm actually not going to circle it. I thought about it, but supernatural. Mm-hmm. That's a word you don't hear much in church. Well, how about faith? So if you just had the first two, you could have great programs and tools and methods and strategy and the nicest people in the world, but you got to get the faith at some point. You got to get to the Word. Okay? Got to get the faith. People need to see faith. They need to experience it in the belonging place, right? They're going to be looking for faith. They're going to be seeing if you're kind of living out what you're saying. Hey, I'm going to circle the Word of God here, man. You can go ahead and circle it, honey, if you want to. Let me talk about the last one, though, supernatural. I think we need to become comfortable with the concept of mystery again. Now, younger people, you guys are totally comfortable with that. I was raised in a highly logical, rational era. But I remember when I was younger, I thought, I believe in a dead Jewish carpenter that says he rose from the grave that lived 2,000 years ago. That's kind of weird, right? I based my life on that, right? Is that not kind of weird? That's why people sometimes look at us like, what? You want to say that again? Tell me again, how did a virgin have a baby? In a supernatural way. So I think when we come to the biblical ingredients for reaching out in the world, those are the three, I settle on those words. Those are the genres that have always been there biblically. Leaders are called to be strategic. Then there's got to be relationship. But then, there's something that happens. The Word of God happens somehow, right? Something. And I'm not just limiting it to the Bible. Sometimes it's the Word of God, the prophets or preachers. Sunday I was going to church down in El Segundo, and I think Kenny Rogers spoke to me because he said something really strange on the radio. I thought, but I had antenna to hear it, right? You know, I thought, well, I won't try to sing or anything else. I just think there are supernatural moments that come, and it's the Word of God. For me, I've listened to the Word of God all my life, so I can hear it, you know, in different places. But if you're going to reach your friends and neighbors, guess what? Those are all elements that have to be in there. So Kim and I, Leslie and Craig have been here all week. We've had a great time. Let's start talking in friend speak. Let me do a little differentiation here for a moment or two, yeah? If you wouldn't mind, Kim. I just want to throw this out. 36 years ago, I appreciate Mark and Sherry. They settled on a method or a strategy. They settled on a strategy, if I use the right word. And they tried strategies in Germany 10 years as missionaries. They didn't feel like most of them worked, you know, so they were trying other things. That's what you do as leaders. You try new things. You get out there and try new stuff, you know. So they tried something different. When they came back to America, they said, all right, if we're going to send college students, how are we going to, what's our strategy? So they literally, I think, that first year or two kind of tore up a Bible and pulled out stories of Luke that they could take, they Xeroxed them. I think it was Xerox. Is that what we said in the early 80s? Mimeographed? I don't know, whatever. Yeah. And Sherry Lee has all those little booklets still, I think, of the stuff they did. It was pretty cool. So they settled on the strategy. They settled on the one-on-one idea as a relationship builder, and they settled on the Word of God. It kind of can take care of itself. That's the LST. Friend speak approach. And we, you know, as we kind of come in with new eyes, it's quite the thing. It really is. So I want to put out, so this is not a sales job today. I don't want to do that at all. I kind of want to tell you a little bit about those three things, the strategy, the idea of the relationship, and the idea of the word being the teacher. So let's start talking. Last year, Kim, I think there's another slide there. You probably can't see much. Those are all the places we've gone internationally, kind of all over the world. It's pretty fun. You know, we had almost 300 people last year. I think we're going to have 350 this year, going somewhere around the world. And included in there is some places in America, too. So these folks, they train. We got teams of 2, 3, or 4, sometimes 5. And it's pretty fun. We train pretty hard. Right? We train pretty hard. So that when you get off the plane, you got your strategy down. And then relationships show up, and then the Word of God does its work. So that's our talking. It's been pretty fun. I invite you to think about it. You know, if you're here, you probably have some proclivity toward this kind of thing. I'm going to tell you our story a little bit of Cambodia. We just got back from Cambodia. We had a great time. I'll show you pictures and some stuff, too. Not pictures of Cambodia. We don't show vacation pictures because you think we just had fun all the time. I got a story I want to tell. So let's start talking. International would be something, if it hits your soul, it would be great. Because what happened when people started going around the world, from Oklahoma and Oklahoma Christian to California and now, this year we had German churches going to Romania to do LST in German for refugees coming from Syria. Because they needed German in Romania to get jobs at the German companies. How's that for a strategy, right? And then implementing a vision for this strategy. The second thing that happened when people started coming home, they said, can't we do that here in America, in my neighborhood? And that we decided years ago, and I was on the board when we were kind of making those decisions, we decided to call it Friendspeak. And so we thought that would be a little bit of a differentiation to say, what about doing this in America? So churches all over America have said, here's our overall strategy. Because I'm not, church leaders, I'm not putting out there, this is the only thing you ever do in your life. It's crazy. This is how to reach people that need English for their lives, right? This is that. You put the two, English and the word together. But in America, we have so many immigrants and refugees in our neighborhoods. This is fulfilling the call of God throughout Scripture, Leviticus, to look out for the stranger in your homeland, but also to bring good news to people. So, in Friendspeak, we've kind of, just last year alone, we trained 540 workers, you know, and I think in our, kind of our 36-year existence, we trained over 500 churches, and then there are lots of churches just doing it. And so we're happy. You know, there's no intellectual property in the kingdom of God. I heard that the other day. So, church leaders and friends, hopefully you're doing this many things and strategy to reach. This is a piece of it, right? This is just a piece of it. For the international, to energize your people, and then for local, to try to meet the folks that are in your neighborhood. LST and Friendspeak. I just want to throw those two things out. Again, strategy, relationship, in the word. It's a method for a certain kind of evangelism that people can be empowered to do around the world and then around the corner. That was my catchy title. I was hoping you guys liked evangelism, outreach around the world and then around the corner. Both are powerful. There are just 2 or 3 churches I wanted to pick off here. Bangkok, Thailand, number 3 up there. Someone told me last night, they have a church of about 240, and about 160 of them came from LST first because people were hungry for English. That's how they came. That's just a lot of those churches. Qingdao, China. Let's just say that again. Qingdao, China. Okay? 20 years ago, would we have just rolled off our tongue starting churches in China? Oh, it was closed, but look what the Word of God does. Right? You know the fastest growing nation in the world for Christ is China. They estimate 120 million, which is only 10% of the population, only, have become Christians. Well, Qingdao, There it is, 14 years. I think that's one of the first places we went in China. And there's three house churches. Because if you get too big, the authorities start coming, right? Out of the 120 in those three house churches, about 80 have come out of this methodology. So it's a strategy for a moment. So maybe in 100 years we'll be having, let's start talking in Chinese, right? Because who knows what the moment will be. Kim? I want to spend just a little time on number three, the word puzzle is what I kind of call it. How in the world does the story of a dead carpenter who says he came to life really change people's hearts? It is a bit of a word puzzle. What's the word do? That's why I say sometimes it's supernatural. So you got to know the strategy and relationship. But I want to talk about the word for a little bit. And that's why Kim and I were willing to leave what we were loving and doing, because this is such a word-based approach and strategy. And there's a picture here I wanted to just show you. A scripture I want us to start with. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And my thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Here you go. Ready? This is the mystery part. I can't explain it. Isaiah 55. Here we go. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, heaven, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty to me, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent.
Amen.
Isn't that eerie? The Word of God. Again, it comes in various forms. You know, they didn't have a Bible for the first 200 years of Christianity. They had the Word of God. Teachings in the scriptures. They had the Old Testament that they still used in those early days. But the stories of Jesus circulated and people would tell them in oral culture. And that's the Word of God. We're blessed with the Bible. That's the Word of God. And so, just like, hey, Californians, just like when it rains, all of a sudden there are flowers everywhere, right? Kind of crazy. And then it goes through and then it vaporizes up again. Doesn't return. Moisture doesn't return empty. It flourishes the earth. And that's what happens when God's word gets out. That's a mystery, by the way. That is supernatural. It's hard to explain that. But people's lives are changed when they, in particular, run into Jesus. All right. I want to share a story. So Kim and I, we said, you know, although we've gone on LSD all these trips, you know, and different things, we said, so we're brand new. We're starting from the bottom up. We applied. Isn't that funny? I'm the director of Let's Start Talking. Yeah, we applied. I'm glad they didn't reject us.
Yeah.
You know, that could have been, I guess. That would have been a great joke somewhere in the office. They awkward. They took us. So we went through training from the bottom up, man. We did all the training. We went to a weekend retreat, which was really fun. We were sitting in the crowd. And some people didn't know who we were, and they went around. And, you know, where Scott and Kim at? Leslie or Craig or somebody said, well, tell them what you do. We're here getting training. We're the new directors of Let's Start Talking. So, you know, we just went from the bottom up, man. We bought our tickets. We did all that stuff. We went to Phnom Penh, Cambodia. A guy from 30 years ago who had done Let's Start Talking said, hey, I think there'd be a place in Cambodia that would be great. It's a college prep place. They prep them in computers and English so they can go into college and thrive. But they were from the countryside of Cambodia. And if you kind of remember Cambodia, you remember the killing field?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot? Do you remember that they emptied out Phnom Penh from 3 million people to 600,000 in 2.5 days. Population went from 11,000 to 7,000 in 11 million to 7 million in 3 years. 4 million people killed. They killed all the academics. They killed all the thinkers. If you wore glasses, they killed you because you weren't agrarian enough. You've been reading too much. They killed you. Took you out. They didn't shoot you. They beat you. And that's just two generations ago. So this is a country that's recovering. The universities are kind of finally flourishing again. So I got a picture of a young man. Well, this is just my book. I thought I'd show you my book. Let you know. Hey, is there, Kim, can you turn some of those lights off behind you there? I don't know if you can. Just test around with them a little bit. This is my favorite. Well, I don't think any of my readers will get online. So this is my favorite reader. 19-year-old fellow named Odom. I couldn't say his last name if I had to. Odom. What? Oh, my. There we are. I might have you turn the lights on. I don't look that good in that clothes. Odom came from the countryside. So if you can kind of see Cambodia, the northeast, I learned a lot about Cambodia. Northeast corner, way up in the top. I was the first foreigner he ever talked to. Now, that's a little impressive. He had never heard of Jesus or didn't know anything about it, didn't know about Christianity. He thought maybe he met one guy in the village two or three over. He was the first young man in the history of his village, to go to university. Because his village had been decimated, right? And so here he is, bright and cheery. Odom. I love Odom. So he's anxious to learn English. And of course, you know, he knows this new thing, Christianity. He's at the center, learning to get ready for college prep, and it's a Christian center run by people who run it are Christians, but none of the students are Christians. That's what's crazy about it. Fully evangelistic. Kim and I showed up, had six readers all day long for 2 weeks. So, Kim, if you would, we just started in with Luke chapter 1, most honorable Theophilus. Many tried to give a report of the things that happened. And we try to plant seeds. You know, what's the main point of this story? Luke was writing history. So if he's writing history, we all study history, right? He's writing history. It's never that easy. Lesson two is explaining the virgin birth. Have a good time with that one. You throw in Elizabeth a little bit there too, right? You know. Oh man, Val, how many times have you read this lesson? It's got to be at least... You've gone on 25 trips. This is a great one, isn't it? Well, let me see if I can explain a little bit of the Holy Spirit, right? Lesson six, I always love this one. What is temptation? Cambodia is a Buddhist country, so their theology is about doing good and karma, right? You know, the whole thing. And so that idea of temptation and doing right is powerful to them, but to hear the stories of Jesus going to the wilderness is really powerful. I love this one. My other reader was a guy named Rinda. We just got into it, man. I've not come to ask good people to change. He said, well, who's good? You know, we got into it. I love it. This is my favorite. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. I have two or three favorites. This one. Jesus went to visit the Pharisee. Now, explain Pharisee. Well, we encourage teach you how to do that a little bit. A religious teacher. By the way, Rinda came in. That's the name Rinda. I think it was on this lesson. It was a Monday morning. He said, hey, what'd you do this weekend, Rinda? He goes, well, I hosted a fundraiser at the pagoda I lived with. The monks and I had a fundraiser, you know. I said, oh, interesting. He said, yeah. That's why this Jesus thing is very interesting. I'm learning from the monks and I'm reading about Jesus. This is very interesting. This is where, that's the supernatural part of all this. I love this story because it got at Buddhist... Well, go back to one more. Yeah, it got at Buddhist theology. Because in Buddhism, you do good thing, good thing, good thing, good thing, in hopes in your next life, you're not a worm, you know? And hopefully you keep going upwards. But it's all about the good works that you do to get into the favor of Buddha. And here's this story of the woman who had come to the religious leader's house. She's crying and she's washing Jesus' feet with her tears. And he said, "You were forgiven." And you know what? It was really with Odom we got to talking about. Well, that's the opposite of what I've been taught. I said, "Yeah." And the lady received grace, and then she did good things the rest of her life. How do you do that? Forgiveness and grace. Forgiveness was the word that he was hung up on as a 19-year-old. Forgiveness, really, just like that. Really? Just like that? Well, yeah. It's the power of the supernatural, the power of the word. You know, I mean, there's something about the four soils and asking people, "Hey, where do you think you are?" You know, you can see Odom at the top there. They raised rice, so he knew all about soil, you know. And his dad sold chopsticks for a living, so they knew all about it. It was just the coolest thing. People who try to save their life and lose it, knows and give up their life for me will save it. Like, what? What are you talking about? The power of Jesus in these hard words. This is what Jesus, you know, I love the first part. I love this part, though. This is the Good Samaritan. So you can see we wrote in, because every country's got somebody they hate, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the Cambodians hate the Vietnamese.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, we don't like the Russians these days. They hate the Vietnamese. So we substituted the Good Samaritan with the good Vietnamese. You know, we talked about two monks walked on by. It sounds like a joke, doesn't it? Hey, two monks and a Vietnamese guy walked on by. You know, we just got to write. I started writing in the Vietnamese man traveling down the road. They couldn't believe it. Really? How come the good guys didn't do that? I don't know. The power of the word, you know, in its own way. People don't, oops, what do we got? Yeah, people don't get life from the many things they own. Let that sink into college students, right? So do you see the mystery of the word? And when you put that together with relationships, that's a pretty powerful, powerful thing. I had a video of Odom, and I couldn't make it work today. I didn't get it embedded right. But he said, "I have learned so much in this." He said, "I'm going to explore Jesus." Kim, the next text here. Oh, good afternoon from America or Facebook. You gotta love Facebook. One of the great tools. It brings me great joy to see your messages. You loved hearing and learning about Jesus in English. Thank you. I especially love our friendship. God bless you and me with you today. This is what he wrote. "Scott, good morning. How are you today? My study is both good. I want to say thank you very much that you let me know about Jesus, Scott. Today I pray for you. Do you know? I pray to God every night." Isn't that cool? So our strategy is we don't just go and then leave. They'll be in the network of follow-up. The people that we were with were, you know, PK, he invited us. He's like, we need more depth. And so PK and his staff and the church at their moment are following up with these students. So that's part of the strategy. Well, I just want to say it again. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I dwell on this sometimes. The rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to heaven without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty to me, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for. So we have stories, I mean, they just overwhelm us sometimes. This fall, we were at a conference in Germany, and we just walked in, and the guy said, "Hey, you're the new LST guy." I said, "Well, yeah, you know." He goes, he said, "In 2002, I was walking by the church building, and I saw the sign for free English." He said, "I didn't want to go in, but I didn't have any money. I knew they'd want me to join their church. Out, but I didn't have any money." So I went in. 3 years later, I became a Christian. Now he's the minister of that church. And he's the president of the Churches of Christ in Croatia. And they're planting churches. And he starts crying. You know, we're all crying. It's embarrassing and delightful all the same. Long-term missionary in Germany, Pam and Larry Sullivan. She said, yeah, my best friend, you know, became a Christian because, let's start talking. She came 14 years in a row before she became baptized. So, you know, year three, were the people that read with her, was that, you know, did they go home discouraged that she wasn't a Christian yet, or did they go home saying, well, God's word's going to do its work? And she's in relationship with those people. Go. So as we in class here in a minute or two, come talk with us. Hey, Val, come on down here. Will you stay here? Who's done either front speak or let's start talking? Yeah. You guys all have to stay.
Yeah.
And come down here with us and let's visit. Here's my encouragement. As in your church, remember, you should be doing all these things, and this maybe is that niche. And I'd say maybe there's two niches. You're here probably because you have a missionary impulse. I think that's fabulous. So, let's send you overseas somewhere. And then let's have you come home and do and start a friends group. You got the greatest skill ever for evangelism. You know how to speak English. There it is. Can you read English? Can you speak English? Can you talk to people? Then you're great. Let's go. Here's my encouragement. People go one way or the other. Usually, they say, oh, I'm ready to go international. Woo! That was me. I'm ready to go. Where did we go first? We went to Belgium, the most exciting place in the world. You know? Then we went to Russia and East Germany. Oh, man. But I can see it sometimes when I'm talking to people. The other side, they go, why would I ever leave America? I've got too many things to do here. We got immigrants all over our nation and our my neighborhood. And there's a Latino. Why would you ever do that? And my encouragement is, I think it's good for your church to do both. Because the people who go overseas, and they're stretched, and they're nurtured. Give your whole day to something like this. You know? Because you changed. Talking about Jesus cross-culturally is like wild. Have to defend your faith a little bit. And you come back. Then those folks come back and they start the best friendship programs around. They're like on fire. Hey, not everyone can go overseas. We've got a lady in Austin. I don't know if you, let's see. Yeah, lady in Austin. 89? 90? She meets every Tuesday at Starbucks with her friend speaker here. She can't go overseas anymore, but she right there in Starbucks on Tuesday morning, they actually kind of make sure that she gets her same plate. The Starbucks worker, they all know her. They love her guy from, I think, Mexico. And they're there every day. He's coming to faith. Went to a church in Houston. 150 people doing friend speak every week. It was the day Trump said, I'm going to talk to Taiwan. You remember how upset China got? You remember those? Yeah. We hadn't talked to Taiwan in 40 years. China's upset. And I get to go to this Christmas dinner. We're singing Christmas carols. I sit down and I'll sit here and these two ladies say, hi, Sarah's my teacher. I said, oh, where are you from? She goes, I'm from Taiwan. Another one goes, I'm from China. And they both laughed. Because they're reading the Word of God. They're seeing that you're supposed to love your neighbor. One of them said, yeah, I've never heard of any of this before, but I can see these Christians are very dedicated. Right? So around the world. So, when you go home, think about your strategy. Okay? It's got to have a relational component. The Word of God is not just knowledge. It comes through the transmission of our love. Man, turn the Word of God loose. It will do strange things. We do not strive for agreement when we go overseas with Western talking. We don't have to believe in virgin birth. But by less 10, 15, they're just asking these questions. Well, what kind of soil am I? You know, am I the good Samaritan? I kind of like Jesus. Jesus is good. So the Word of God, supernatural, I don't know how to say it any other way. Just if you get it out, and you help, the Word of God gets it out. See, I don't even know what to say. When the Word of God goes out, it does not return. Hope this has been encouraging. Man, you don't ever have to do LST. I hope you can take this home and put the Word of God somewhere into your relationships and into your local church. But we'd love to visit if you want to do something like this. Friends, can I give you a big announcement here a little bit? We've been doing a lot of soul searching in LST. So we usually charge churches for Friends Week training. We, you know, ask them to give an amount. We've talked about that a lot. We kind of don't like that anymore. So if you got a church that wants to do Friends Week training, fly us out or whatever. But then it's all free after that. And we're going to ask those who do it maybe to give something back. That's free will. We don't want the Word of God stifled because you can't pay the fee or something. So that's exciting. I hope that's exciting. Come see us if your church would like. We'll do Friends Week for free. We will. Because we want the Word of God out. Thank you. What good lectures, huh? Good lectures. Well, I know there's a temptation to say, what are your questions and stuff? Nah, it's time to go eat. But everybody, come on up here if you want to visit and let's do that. Thank you. Be relational. Because you got something to share with the world, but let the Word of God speak loud and clear in your life. Amen.